Well, we'd like the Lord to help us this morning, so we covet your prayers. I've been thinking about this little series of elements of a successful Christian life. And one of the, we talked about a couple of other things already, about being as clay is in the hands of the potter. We talked about walking with the Lord. And in a real walk with knowing God and walking with Him. This morning I want to think a little bit about fighting the fight of faith and learning to contend. These are things we have to learn a little bit about. Going to heaven is an awesome thing. And when I think about heaven, I think there's no price that could be too great. I don't think we could contend enough to say it was too much for an eternal reward like heaven. The Lord has placed it before us, and He has told us to contend. He's told us to fight. And I want to think about some of those things this morning in Luke 16 and 16. It says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." You know, this morning, there are some things that are worth pressing for. There are some things that are worth contending for until we receive them. There are things worth that. I know we've all heard the song about merrily, 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 life is but a dream, and we just sail down the river. You know, there might be a space in our life like that, but life isn't like that. We don't just sail, we don't just float down the river and get anything good. Weeds grow. I mowed a lawn yesterday that had all kinds of burrs in it. I told Rosie I think there was probably 3,000 of them. At least in this lawn. And there's probably a lot more than that, actually. And we didn't have to do anything to make them grow. But I will tell you, if we wanted a harvest of vegetables, we would have to do some things. There would be some effort put forth. I believe that God has laid out the groundwork of life in nature for us to see. We see the eternalness of God by the things He has made. We look out upon the universe and we cannot take it in. It's greater than our finite minds can take in, and it's deeper than our eyes can see. It goes beyond that. But God placed that there, I think. And I've wondered before, why did He make huge bodies, enormous, beyond what our minds can comprehend, when we can't even see them? But then when we start going deeper, we start finding there's more out there and more out there. And we realize, you know what, this God that we serve is eternal. It's beyond our comprehension. It goes beyond what we can see or think. And the scriptures tell us there in Romans 1, it tells us that the things of the eternal Godhead are seen by those things that He has made. And so God made a lot of things in life for our benefit so we could understand Him. I believe the growing of things is one of those things. It takes effort if you want fruit. It don't take any effort to grow little burrs. You can walk out through there and get 15 or 20 of them on your legs in a hurry if you walk through the wrong spot. It's just the way it is. But if you want fruit, you're going to have to put forth some effort. And this morning, if we want fruit in our life, it's going to come at a press. It is. It's going to come at some effort that we put into it. If we're going to make heaven our home, there are decisions we're going to have to make daily. There is effort that we're going to have to put into that daily if we're going to make heaven our reward and our home at last. And so Jesus paid it all, we know. And it's because of His grace that we can even have such a thing. But I will tell you, there's some contending we're going to have to do. And this morning I want to read to you just a little bit of Pilgrim's Progress. I copied out just a small portion here. And Pilgrim had gone to the house of the interpreter where he had seen things that made him to have spiritual understanding. One of those things, I believe it was the first one, I'm not sure about that. He went in and he saw where there was a fire and there was somebody throwing water on the fire. And I know we've heard this before, most of us. And they were just throwing water, lots of water on the fire, trying to put the fire out. And when they would throw water on the fire, then it would just blaze up higher than ever. And so the interpreter said, "Come around behind, I want you to see." And he went around behind and he saw somebody there with oil, squirting oil into that fire. And so was the fire going to go out with the water? No, the oil was getting sprayed on. And so he was telling him a spiritual lesson that, you know what, God wants to, He wants to bless us that way. Yes, we will have water. Yes, we will have things of life that wants to dampen our spiritual experience with the Lord, wants to dampen our hope, wants to come against and reduce our faith in the Lord. But does it have to be that way? Does the waters that come, does the coldness of life, does the attacks of the enemy have to reduce our effectiveness? I don't think so. I think it can blaze higher than ever if we allow the oil of the Holy Spirit and allow the Lord to keep feeding that flame that is within our heart. And so Pilgrim went, then interpreter said, "I want to show you something else." And I'm kind of quoting, he may not have said it just like that, but that's what he was doing, showing him around different things. And so I saw also that the interpreter took him again by the hand and led him into a pleasant place where was built a stately palace, beautiful to behold, at the sight of which Christian was greatly delighted. He saw also upon the top thereof certain persons walking who were clothed all in gold. Then said Christian, "May we go in thither?" Then the interpreter took him and led him up towards the door of the palace. And behold, at the door stood a great company of men, as desirous to go in, but durst not. There was a whole group of fellows out there, and they wanted to go in this beautiful palace, but they were afraid to. And so there also sat a man at a little distance from the door at a table side with a book and his inkhorn before him to take the names of them that should enter therein. He saw also that in the doorway stood many men in armor to keep it, being resolved to do to the men that would enter what hurt and mischief they could. Now was Christian somewhat in amaze. At last, when every man started back for fear of the armed men, Christian saw a man of a very stout countenance come up to the man that sat there to write, saying, Set down my name, sir. The which when he had done, he saw the man draw his sword and put a helmet on his head and rush towards the door upon the armed men who laid upon him with deadly force. But the man, not at all discouraged, fell to cutting and hacking most fiercely. So after he had received and given many wounds to those that attempted to keep him out, he cut his way through them all and pressed forward into the palace, at which there was a pleasant voice heard from those that were within, even of those that walked upon the top of the palace, saying, "Come in, come in, eternal glory thou shalt win." So he went in and was clothed with such garments as they. Then Christian smiled and said, "I think verily I know the meaning of this." You know, this morning, I think this would be worth a fight, don't you? I think this would be worth a press. And so Matthew 11 speaks again of what Jesus, of when he spoke of John the Baptist, 11 and 12, and he said here, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Now, I will tell you this morning, if we're going to go to heaven, we're going to have to get a little violent. Because there's things that will stop us. These forces at the door are forces that we must contend with this morning. The Scriptures plainly tell us that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. And if we are going to receive those things into our life, righteousness, if we're going to receive righteousness from the Lord, I will tell you, the Lord tells us that the violent take it by force. Now, what are we contending with? What are some of those things? Do you know, I want to read here what Clark said about that we just read. He that will take, get possession of the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and spiritual joy must be in earnest. All hell will oppose him in every step he takes. And if a man be not absolutely determined to give up his sins and evil companions and have his soul saved at all hazards and at every expense, he will surely perish everlastingly. This requires a violent earnestness. Now, I want us to just think about that this morning a little bit. Do you know that there are conflicts that we are going to have, that we are going to have to face and be willing to face? Conflicts with sin. Conflicts with the devil tempting us. Conflicts with the devil wanting to deceive us. He did that with Eve. He told Eve, he said, surely you won't die. Surely you won't die. God said that, but it isn't going to be that way. I want to tell us this morning, Eve paid an awful price for not knowing and not believing. She knew this Lord, but she didn't believe. And she fell into conflict with the enemy there. And she was just, yeah, he told us not to eat of this tree, but she ate of the tree. You know, this morning, we are going to have to be in violent earnestness to obey the commandments of the Lord. In our life, we're going to face that foe going into the door of eternal life. If we're going to be as this pilgrim was that we read about, you know, it said he told the man at the door, "Put my name down." And then he drew a sword. And then he put a helmet on his head. I want to read about that helmet here in a few minutes. And he began to fight. He began to fight against the things that would keep him from entering in. The things of sin. He became violently in earnest to make it in that door. Folks, if we want to make it to heaven, we can. But I want to tell you, we're going to have to lay aside the things that would keep us out. We're going to have to fight against those things. The things that of sin, not only sin, but you know, I want to think about the things of this world. And they do turn into sin. But you know, the world is at enmity with God. The things of the world, the pleasures of the world, the things that the world partakes of, the pride of the world. What's it say in 1 John 2 there? All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All of those lusts that it mentions another there, and we see that those things are at war with us coming into the kingdom of God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I want to tell you something. The world looks pretty lovely sometimes, doesn't it? That's called temptation. That's called temptation. Sometimes it's a mirage, folks. It doesn't end well, and it doesn't provide what it says it will. And people that give themselves to it don't find what they're after. That's why you see the richest and the most famous. Many times you see those famous people committing suicide. Why? Something's not giving what it promised to give. But I will tell you what does give what it's promised to give, and that's the Lord. He gives, in His kingdom is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the Lord wants to give that to us this morning. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do you know that we're going to have to hack and cut against that thing? That's one of those men that stand at the door. We're going to have to whack and cut at the lust of this world and the lust of the flesh. We heard a little about this morning in Sunday school. Do you know if we're going to enter in, we're going to have to kill desires that don't follow the Lord's desires. We're going to have to take out of our way those things that would stop us. No, you can't enter in. I am the great temptation, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those things are big, are they not? Do you know this morning the Lord wants us to take the sword and to begin to work, to take the shield of faith, protect our faith. Don't let the devil take our faith. Don't let him take our spiritual life. It is our faith. It is our confidence in God and the things that He has given to us, His words, that will protect us this morning. Love not the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I just want to encourage us this morning. If we are going to make heaven our home, and if we have that in our heart and in our mind, and we want to escape the damnation of hell, I will tell you, we are going to have to contend for it. There is one that is set to keep us from that this morning. But the Lord not only wants to do that, but He has outfitted us. He's provided for us weapons that we could make it. Weapons that we can not only get saved, but that we can make it all the way into heaven. That we can be a successful fighter, warrior for the Lord. That good things can happen in this life because God is working in our life today. That takes some contending for and some effort on your part and on mine. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and 7. I love this verse. You've probably heard it many times here. But Second Timothy 4 and 7. We find Paul says, I have fought a good fight. Now, I will tell you this morning, I hope when I come to the end of the way, and I'm trying to make decisions that will make this most possible, I want to cut out the things that may trip me later. I want to make decisions that I know are good, sound, spiritual decisions. And God help us to do that. We have to cut away at the flesh to do that, don't we? The things that would stop us. But Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also. That love is appearing. That comes down to you and me, doesn't it? The Lord has a crown waiting for you and me, folks. It's just over the hill. It's just down the way a little ways. Not all that far. It's just down the way a little ways for you and I. And so this morning, I want to encourage us to listen to the words of Paul here. He said, I have fought a good fight. You know what that tells me? That tells me that we're going to have to fight. Paul knew what he was speaking of here. He didn't say, I sailed down the stream. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I just relaxed and had a good time. Paul took the gospel to people that opposed him many times. Paul lived a life of self-denial. But we find that Paul, at the end of his way, He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. You know, that tells us some things, folks. We have a course to run. We have a fight to fight. And I want to encourage us today to not be afraid to fight and contend with the forces that we must contend with. Our own inhibitions, our own flesh, our own self. I don't think there's anything the devil can give us greater than the fact that we've got to contend with our own self. He can have no power over us unless we give it to him. And so this morning, we have to contend with that. Who was this pilgrim contending with at the door? Self. His flesh. He was fighting. Who was he contending with? Men? No. That was an allegory. That was something to tell us what goes on in the Christian life. And we're going to have to contend with some things. We're going to have to put some things to death so that we can go in the door. He goes on to say, henceforth I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Do you know that keeping the faith is not simply keeping a knowledge that God is and that Jesus Christ died for us? Keeping the faith is keeping His words. It's keeping the doctrine of God. It's keeping the belief that we have in the Lord and all that He is, in His righteousness. And so this morning, we don't want to let those things slip, as some have through the centuries. It says here, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. Who is that? The judge. You mean there's a judge in this conflict too? Yes, and it's not us. It's the Lord. And He don't have any kind of partiality. And we don't have anybody we can take up there to the judge with us. Therefore, folks, we have to contend in our own life. We have to take responsibility for me and for you this morning. So the Lord help us that we prepare ourselves for this place and this time. Let's contend, folks. Let's contend for the righteousness of the Lord. Let's contend for His will to be done in our life. Let's contend. Let's fight for that. Because the flesh would say, oh, take your own way. You know, you always wanted to whatever, fill in that blank yourself. You always wanted, well, you know what? The will of God, folks, is what counts in this fight. Let's contend for His will in our life. Let's contend with our flesh that God has His way in our life. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. I love that. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 3, the same writer tells us again. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, you know, we walk in the flesh. We live in this body. But he says, we do not war after the flesh. Our enemies are not people. Even if people give us problems, the enemy's not people. Folks, it's the enemy of our soul. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That ought to kind of help settle some things for us. We don't go to war with weapons, do we? We're in another kingdom, folks. We don't kill people under any circumstances by the grace of God. The Lord help us this morning that we take some good stands in our life about what God wants us to do and be. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but folks, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You say, well, I've always been that way. You say, well, my dad was that way and my grandfather. And you say, well, that's the way I was taught and all of those things. Folks, listen this morning. We're talking about weapons that will pull down strongholds. Strongholds are made on purpose to keep other things out, other people out, That's what strongholds are made for. And the Lord has given us weapons in our lives that we can pull down the strongholds of the enemy in our life. He's given that. He wants us to learn to use those weapons. He wants us to learn how to win victories over strongholds. Victories. When the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, and there was Jericho, first off, right there. Big, great, walled city. How were they going to win such a thing? It was impossible. They weren't armed for that kind of thing. They didn't have big cannons and all of that. Those walls were high and they were thick. And do you know, those walls just came down in a moment. I believe that story. That's the God that I know. That's the God we know, is it not? Do you know this morning, it's that way in our life too? When we take God's way, when we learn to use the weapons that He has given, we will see strong and high walls come down. Things that make it impossible for us to get through. That's okay. It's all right if it's impossible to get through. That's no problem for my God, is it? That's no problem for our God, is it? We just need the Lord to work. And so we don't trust in ourselves. The weapons of our warfare aren't made with our hands. But they are mighty, folks. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I will tell you, thoughts will come to your mind. Wrong thoughts will come to your mind. And these weapons will bring those wrong thoughts into captivity to the Lord. To obedience to the Lord. And that's what God wants to do in our lives this morning. It comes as a work from the Lord. Some things that God wants to do in our lives today. We learn to fight, folks. We learn to fight. We make some mistakes. I think about Joshua. He saw those walls come down, Jericho. And the next one, he didn't worry about. Just sent the guys out. And you know, those men came up and they said, "We're from a long distance and here this moldy bread and all of this. You see, we've been traveling a long, long time. Make a league with us." And Joshua made a mistake that taught him. Folks, we have to be careful not to make mistakes like that. The Lord help us to learn. Joshua learned to fight. He learned the enemy is very tricky. And he learned to seek the Lord in all of those things. And you know, when he did, he won his battles. Battle after battle, he won by the grace of God. In 1 Timothy 6, here we find again Paul writing, 1 Timothy 6 and 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Do you know we have to fight for contentment in our life? Because there's a whole world that is driven by discontent. It's driven by a love for everything. Everything the eyes can take in. We have to fight for this morning. Dropping on down to verse 11. It says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Now we read where Paul at the end of his day, at the end of his life, he said, "I fought a good fight." Now here he is in the midst of life and he's telling people, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And he paved the way before them, did he not? That they could see that way. He told Timothy another place, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. We know these things happen by the grace and by the power of God. This morning, the Lord help us all that we can make heaven our home. I know that successful people, it's an element in their life. They have learned to contend. They have learned not to back down in the face of danger. In the face of the foe, they have learned they must contend. And it is many times with our own self that we have to contend. We have to say no. We have to learn to say go. We have to learn to say it's time to take out and pray instead of going and doing right off what we want to do. And we will find there, we will find the Lord beginning to nourish our plant. We will find fruit developing. We will find good things developing in our life. Only God can give those things. But folks, we have to contend against the enemy in that. I want to read Ephesians 6 and 11, where again the same writer tells us, put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6 and 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickeries, the things that we could get caught up in that would cost us our eternal reward. He says here, put on the whole armor so that don't happen. Now, how does that happen? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There it is again. We're not in a fleshly contest. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so Paul gives us a little insight here. He said, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand in that evil day. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about, your protection girt about with truth. I will tell you, I believe what we believe is very critical and important this morning. We don't talk about everything we believe every day. But I will tell you, they must be in place. I see it as like the bone structure of our body. Very critical that all of our bones be there. We don't see them every day. We don't talk about them every day. But they must be kept in health. Folks, what we believe must be kept in health. The things we believe, that God has brought holiness to our lives, that He brings forgiveness through repentance and salvation and through baptism, through sanctification of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost dwelling within us. I will tell you, that's a step that God wants us to seek Him for. It is the empowerment of the God of heaven on high in our life. It is the work of that Spirit in our life, the cleansing that it does in our life. You know, there are many things, the beliefs, the understandings that we have, that the world is at enmity with God, very critical that we believe these things. Do you know that if we don't know these things and we don't believe, and we go out and get caught up in all the things of this life, all the sports, the games, the things, folks, there's a lot of the elements of this life, the pride of this life, having the things the world has. I want to tell you something. If you will seek the Lord, if we will seek Him, we will find Him to be our all in all and sufficient in everything. But we will find that the world is at enmity with God. We must contend. Lord, what is truth? What is your truth? Show me the whole truth. Teach me your ways that I might know, that I might understand your ways. Folks, there is many things in the world today, and they work counter to the things of spirituality. We see a world so sold. I mentioned sports, I know. I don't mention that all the time. But folks, those things work contrary to the things of God. You see a whole world that is sold on everything of this life, and their minds are drunk. But bring them to the Word of God, and they don't know it. They don't understand the principles of it. They don't have it living within their life. They're not teaching it to the next generations. And so we find a nation high on all the things of this life, but without and void of the things of the Spirit of God. Void of the things that make people ready for that eternity with God. Void of the things, of the patterns of life, the Christian, the concepts of Christianity that makes homes what they are. We are losing those very concepts. And to even think of them anymore is a disgrace in our society. It's hard to believe and hard to imagine, but many things that the Lord made very plain in His Word, the alternative lifestyles, all of those things, folks, those things are contrary to the things of God, an abomination. And so we find that the world is drunk with all of this pleasure. But are they alive to God also? It's not going to happen, folks. We've got to have our loins girt about with truth. We've got to understand those things that are right and those things that are wrong a little bit. And he goes on to say about some other things. And so the scriptures tell us that those weapons of our warfare, they're mighty through God. Truth is a mighty weapon in our life. It is an arsenal against the enemy making us drunk. I want to say that again. It is a weapon in the arsenal of God to keep us from getting drunk on this world. And so when we believe the truth, folks, it makes us so much more available to the good things of God in our life. It makes the peace of God ready at hand when we give up the things of this world and we take God's ways. Listen to this. It goes on to say, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Okay, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, that breastplate, that was very important in the Roman way of fighting. It was very important because the arrows, the swords, the cutting that would happen stops at the breastplate that way and doesn't enter, doesn't take their life, doesn't enter the vitals. Do you know this morning that it is vital that we have a life of righteousness? The whole world, the Christian world, largely, much of it is teaching something very contrary to that today. They say we ought to be living in righteousness, but nobody can. Folks, that's another concoction of the enemy that we have to contend with. It's another concoction that is infiltrated all around us, everywhere around us. We talk to people in religious circles, and this is what they're saying. We must have on the breastplate of righteousness if we want to be protected from the enemy's arrows, from his thoughts, from his designs, from his life-taking ability. We have to have that on this morning. Live in a way that is righteous. Only God can give us the grace to do that. But what it does is it drives us to our knees. It makes us, as Joshua was with that great city, it makes us say, Lord, how do we take this place now? You know, it was impossible, but God told him exactly what to do. And you know, when we begin to fall upon our knees and we begin to be obedient to the Lord and all that we know, we begin to seek Him with our whole heart, do you know that those walls will come down? I believe that this morning. Having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know the feet are important too, and all of those things. I'm going to move on without trying to make the whole lesson on this. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Folks, we have to keep our faith intact. I have heard it said, and I believe it, that our faith is very closely related to our obedience. And many times that is the truth. If we're not obedient to the Lord, and if there are things that we're doing that condemn us, folks, we're not going to have much faith. We're not going to have the strength to hold that up in the face of a severe attack, and that's what it's for. to hold up in the face of an attack, that we might protect our vital areas, our belief, our walk with God, our communing with the Lord. See, those things are at risk when we don't have faith in God, because the enemy comes along, he has an open there. Wherewith, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How could Paul say this so easily? Because it's true, folks. To quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. We know the helmet of salvation. We read about that pilgrim. He put his helmet on. What did he do? He got saved. He got salvation. He repented of his sins, and the Lord saved him. Wherewith we shall, let's see, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, what we have here. Then the Lord wants to go to work. He wants to put His sword in our hands. That's this Word. That's His Word. And so, when the enemy begins to fight, begins to try to deceive, begins to try, we have something to stand on, don't we? The eternal Word of God. Impossible for Him to lie, the Scriptures say. And so we have that to stand on this morning. And then it goes on to say, and we need to learn to use the Word, folks. Jesus used the Word in His temptation. When the devil came along and tempted Him, what did He do? Each time He came right back with Scripture, didn't He? Learn to use the weapons. We're kind of cutting this short this morning, but let's learn to use the weapons that God has given us. Praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Oh, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This morning I want to encourage us to pray. Praying always, it says, with all prayer and supplication. That's a little more than just coming and saying, Lord, bless us tonight as we sleep through the night and we have a little whatever and that's it. The Lord wants our heart to come out to His. He wants us to pray. He wants our heart to desire. He wants our heart to praise Him. He wants our heart to commune with Him. Folks, that takes time. It takes an earnest contending for, or we won't have it. We won't have prayer time. We won't have time to commune with the Lord if we allow the enemy to take it from us. We must contend for it. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We want prayer time. We want to know the voice of the Lord. I believe we can all know the voice of the Lord. Have you ever heard the Lord speak to you? It's wonderful, isn't it? Most of us here probably have. But do you know the Lord wants to speak to us continually? He wants it to be part of our life. We have to contend for a life like that. That's found in doing His will, in centering ourselves up in God's thoughts instead of our thoughts, in contending, Lord, what is Your will, in looking to Him, in searching for Him. And I will tell you, I believe that we by far get the best end of the deal when we do that. One more scripture, 1 Timothy 6 and 20 and 21. O Timothy, he says, keep that. Keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Do you know this morning, Clark puts that oppositions of falsely called inspired knowledge. That's what he kind of rewrites it that way. False oppositions of falsely called inspired knowledge. Do you know that these are all things we have to contend with? And Paul told Timothy, he said, you keep that which is committed to thy trust. Keep it, Timothy. But just in closing, Timothy, this is the last verse of this little letter he wrote. The last little bit, well, the next to last here. He said, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Timothy, don't let your mind get all wrapped up in them things. They'll hurt you. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. That was Paul's sign off there with Timothy. I want to encourage us this morning, keep that which is committed to us. Guard it. Fight for it. Give ourselves to the Lord. Let him have his way. Contend manfully. Don't let the enemy have our salvation. Don't even let him have a little place. You know, the Lord said, Satan cometh and hath nothing in me. Do you know that when we leave a little place, we reserve a place where Satan can work under the armor, behind the armor, and he has a place to work, to cause sickness, to maybe cause us to die eventually spiritually. So the Lord help us that we contend earnestly for these good things. You all pray for me.